Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 9th chapter, starting from text 159 and going to text 166. So text 159, right? Yeah, it is. Translation, I have been engaged in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, and it is due to their mercy that I have been able to see your lotus feet. So does anyone know who's speaking here? Venkatabhatta, that's right. So that's the father of Gopabhatta Goswami and the brother of Prabodhananda Saraswati. Yesterday was the disappearance day of Gopabhatta Goswami, so that's coincidental. Next verse, 160. So Venkatabhatta here is speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They've met in South India, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has seen that Venkatabhatta is within the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and he is habituated to worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking him, why is it that your Lakshmi, who is the eternal consort of Narayan, wanted to engage in austerities to attain Krishna and to enter into the Rasa dance? So he's pushing Venkatabhatta. He is joking with him. They have a joking relationship. And now Venkatabhatta is answering. Out of your causeless mercy, you have told me of the glories of Lord Krishna. No one can reach the end of the opulence, qualities, and forms of the Lord. I can now understand that devotional service unto Lord Krishna is the supreme form of worship. Out of your causeless mercy, you have made my life successful simply by explaining the facts. After saying this, Venkatabhatta fell down before the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, embraced him. When the period of Chaturmasya was completed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took permission to leave from Venkatabhatta, and after visiting Sri Ranga, he proceeded further towards southern India. Venkatabhatta did not want to return home, but also wanted to go with the Lord. It was with great endeavor that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade him farewell. When he did so, Venkatabhatta fell down unconscious. Such are the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Shachi at Sri Ranga Kshetra. And then text 166. Thank you, translation. When the Lord arrived at Rishabhahil, he saw the temple of Narayan and offered obeisances and various prayers. Purport. Rishabhahil, Anagada Malaya Parvat, is situated 12 miles north of Madurai city in the district of Madurai in southern Tamil Nadu. It is one of the mountains known as the Kutukachalas. Nearby Rishabhahil is the forest where Lord Rishabhadev burned himself to ashes. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shrivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is very wonderful, as are all of the sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But I'm going to primarily speak about this conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Venkatabhatta, which came to an end during these verses. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very special incarnation of Krishna. In fact, he's not an incarnation of Krishna, he is Krishna. He is not an avatar, he is avatari. He is the origin of all avatars because he is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. He's full of all opulences, as is Krishna. And he's traveling around South India and he's bestowing his mercy upon everybody that he meets. And so with us also, we have come in contact with the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether directly or indirectly. Here we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the altar behind me also. and we have the associates and the representatives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of the devotees who are giving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And if I was to write a title for this class, then I would entitle it Our Good Fortune, or The Good Fortune of Devotees. So if we can just see the context of where we are and where we are in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then it will give us a little bit of a perspective. So we've taken our birth within this material world. Different Vaishnavas have different opinions on whether we came from the spiritual world or whether we came from Krishna and we were never in the spiritual world. Whatever it may be, then we chose to be here where we are in the material world, and we've been here since time immemorial. So that means we've had thousands, millions, billions, trillions of births within this material world through 8,400,000 different species of life. It's said that we're born as Brahma in the first birth that we take, and then gradually we've come all the way down to being born within Kali Yuga, which is a pretty depressing situation. It's the, as my spiritual master says, it's the dregs. So it's like the worst of the worst. If you're cleaning something out, or you know, you've got like a bucket full of dirt and you know, you pour the dirty water out, whatever's left in the bottom, like the most disgusting remnants of that dirty bucket, that's the dregs. So Kali Yuga is the worst situation of the four ages, at least. And somehow or another, we took our birth in this age where all sinful activities are facilitated. No standards, you can do whatever you want, and you have the opportunity to do that. That's what we have the opportunity to do in this age. So we've been born within this Kali Yuga. And somehow or another, after many births in many species, over very long periods of time, we have taken birth within the human form. So this is considered extremely rare. 400,000 different species of the 8,400,000 are human forms. And now we have this human form of life, which is the only form of life really from which you can attain perfection. There are instances of dogs going back to Godhead when they came in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or a few different instances like that, but very, very rare. Usually it's only the human form of life that we can comprehend what is life about. Why are we suffering? Why do I have to go to work 5 days a week and I only have 2 days a week at the weekend? Why do I have to struggle constantly? Only we can comprehend these things and understand these things. So now we have this human form of life. But even having this human form of life, we've probably had this human form of life many, many times within this material world. In this human form of life, we've come in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we just think about it a little bit, if you think about your family or the history of England or the history of India, not so much, but say of England over here in the West, if you were born 100 years ago, would there have been any opportunity to hear about Krishna, to hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? None. If you were born 200 years ago, we would have been born, we would have had our family, we would have, just like we have a little baby, you have to learn how to crawl, you have to learn how to work, then you walk, then you go to school to do your homework, then you go to work, you live your life, you get married, or you know, you buy your house, you go through that. How many times have we gone through that in our existence? So many times, and there hasn't even been an opportunity to come in contact with Krishna. And that's only in the human form of life, when we've made it up to the human form of life. When you get born in the animal species, then you have to go gradually all the way up. Just like if you put a ball underwater, something that's going to float, you put it down underwater, then it will come up to the surface. So when we're thrown into the animal species of life, then you gradually come up and you bob up back to the human form of life, and then you can make decisions, am I going to go up or am I going to go down? So we've come all the way back up to the human form of life, probably many times, but there hasn't been an opportunity to serve Krishna. Yes, probably there's been opportunities to serve God, and there's been opportunities to be a sincere, honest person, but this opportunity to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How often is it that Krishna comes? Can somebody tell me? Once in a day of Brahma, right? And how long is a day of Brahma? 1,000 chaturyugas, that's right. But how many years is that? 4.32 billion years, exactly. So Krishna comes once in every 4.32 billion years. I mean, it's very difficult to conceive, right, how fortunate we are. You hear in the news somebody has won the lottery and they've won £5 million or they've won £1 million. It's like, what are the chances of that happening? They did their lottery ticket and boom, they got the jackpot. So many millions of people in England are doing the lottery every week. Only one person can win the whole thing. And what we've won, we can't even conceive of it because we can't see the scale of it. We think in terms of, you know, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. This is 4.32 billion years. We think about Lord Jesus Christ. He came 2,000 years ago. It's a long time, right? The churches that we have in England are not 2,000 years old. There may be some churches that are 1,000 years old. He came 2,000 years ago. The Romans were around 2,000 years ago, a little bit before that, right? You can see Roman. We have Roman roads, Watling Street in Radlett. That's a Roman road, very long road. That's just 2,000 years ago. The Egyptians, they were around, what, 10, 15,000 years ago. Very, very ancient. This is 4.32 billion years. He didn't come since then. Krishna just came 5,000 years ago. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago. Srila Prabhupada came 50 years ago. Lots of fives in there. I'm not very good at numerology, but somebody probably knows something about that. And we've hit it bang, right? Smack bang in the middle of it. So the chance that we have, the opportunity that we have to be very enthusiastic and very appreciative to take this chance, because it doesn't come around every day. Well, it comes around every day of Brahma, but they're pretty long days, 4.32 billion years. So unless you want to wait for the other one, for the next opportunity, for the next bus to come, then that's another 4.32 billion years, then we have to wait. So our good fortune is inestimable, and we are extremely fortunate that we have been born at this time. It's said that when Krishna was here, then only a handful of people actually understood that Krishna is God, which is an interesting topic because it seems like it was more than that. But anyway, the point is that it was very, very few people understood who Krishna was. That's why also when Krishna went back to the spiritual world, when Krishna went back to Godhead, then he thought, my mission hasn't been accomplished. I came, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. I killed the demons. I associated with my devotees. I exhibited my pastimes, especially my Vrindavan pastimes. But how many people were delivered? Not so many. Demons were delivered who were killed by Krishna. People on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but not large quantities. So then he thought, I'll come back as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I'll give my mercy more liberally, and I will also show what it means to serve me. When Krishna comes and he acts as Krishna, steals yogurt, dances with the gopis, decapitates a lot of people, then people might not understand, right? Well, who is Krishna? What's he doing? Why is he doing that? It said the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he heard about Krishna, but he didn't realize that Krishna was God. And he couldn't understand that Krishna was God, because it seems from an ethical perspective, Krishna's not so moral. And it wasn't until he came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi. He's foregone all material enjoyments, but still he's worshipping Krishna, he's still meditating on Krishna, then he could understand, oh, Krishna is the Supreme. And then he attained the platform of Bhava, like, immediately, and then he went on to... So he's a Nitya Siddha. But still the example is there that Krishna is difficult to understand. The activities of Krishna are difficult to understand. The tattva of Krishna is difficult to understand. But when the example is given of how to worship Krishna by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it becomes more easy. Then we can see, what can I do? What do I have to do to come in contact with Krishna? So, Krishna comes, and this is very special, this is very wonderful. As I said, many people worship God, which is also elevating. We have to understand that if other people are worshiping God, going to the church or going to the mosque, that's also good, that's also elevating for them. Once I was in Turkey with my spiritual master, we were preaching over there, or he was preaching mainly, and I was getting in the way. And we were in the airport, and it's a Muslim country, so it's full of Muslims with their traditional Muslim dress on. And I asked him, what benefit do they get for their religious activities? Because we know they're also eating meat and doing other things, although there are restrictions on those things, but who is a strict practitioner of religion these days in Kali Yuga? I said, what benefit do they get for their activities if they're mixed with sinful activities? And he said, the devotional credits that they get from their prayers, from their going to the mosque, from their reading the Quran, that's eternal. Neha bikramana shosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. That in this endeavor there's no loss or diminution, and the little advancement on this path can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. So whatever religion it is, people are worshipping God sincerely, that's bhakti, that's devotion. But we understand that there's different gradations also. So here, Venkata Bhatta is worshipping who? Lakshmi Narayan. He's worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying to him that Lakshmi Devi wants to worship Krishna. Lakshmi Devi is aspiring to go to Vrindavan. So why are you worshipping Narayan? If even your worshipable deity is aspiring to worship someone else, why are you worshipping Narayan? Why don't you worship Krishna? Like, we meet many Hindus who worship Shiva. We say to them, but Shiva's worshipping Krishna. So why do you worship Shiva? Shiva will be more happy with you if you worship Krishna than if you worship him. So we have general conception of God, which people understand. Then we have the Vedic conception of God, which is Narayan or Vishnu. So this is God, full of all opulence, full of all power, creating the material world, taking on different forms to manifest the material world, be aware of the material world, maintain the material world. We also have these other aspects, guna avatars, Lord Shiva and Brahma, who are taking on roles to create the material world and to destroy the material world, all godly activities. And then beyond Narayan, then we have Krishna. We have the original form of Krishna. So we're having the opportunity to understand Krishna. But there's also different gradations of understanding Krishna as well. So within Nectar of Instruction, what are the different gradations that it gives? Different levels where you can, different holy places at the end of Nectar of Instruction. Can anyone tell me? Premanavapri, you know, right? It's Mathura. It's saying Mathura is the highest abode. And then
Dwarka.
No, it's Dwarka. And then Vrindavan.
Mathura,
and then Govardhan, right? Where Radhakund is situated at Govardhan. So even within Mathura Vrindavan, there's different gradations. Rupa Goswami is explaining in Upadeshamrita. Even within Vrindavan, there's more and more special places. And then within the different relationships in Vrindavan, then there are also different gradations. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Shantaras, we don't bother with Shantaras. It's not, where's the devotion in Shantaras, sitting around looking at Krishna, appreciating Krishna? You have to do something, you have to serve. So he said, Dasyaras, let's begin with Dasyaras, serving Krishna. We have different personalities within Dasyaras. Higher than Dasyaras is Sakyaras, friendship with Krishna. We have the cowherd boys as examples of friendship with Krishna. They're playing with Krishna. they're putting a flower in Krishna's mouth when he's expecting a sweet ball. They're wrestling with Krishna. They're saying, Krishna, there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're saying, Tumi Sama Ada, who are you? What kind of big person are you, Krishna? We're the same, me and you. You can't beat me in wrestling. You know, what kind of personality are you? This is Sakyaras. The cowherd boys are just so familiar with Krishna. He's their friend. They're with him every day, going out to the pasturing grounds, just playing with Krishna. And then we have Vatsalya Ras. So the Vatsalya Ras is the mood of Krishna's parents. They're looking after Krishna. How does that verse go? Lalana Palana. So Mother Yashoda, she's Lalana, she's nourishing Krishna with her love. She's looking after Krishna. Krishna, have you eaten? Making sure Krishna is eating. She's worried that he doesn't eat enough. Sometimes when he's feeling separation from Srimati Radharani, he can't eat. He's just, you know, feeling separation, and she's worried. She's trying to feed him, and he's just, you know, nibbling at his food. Mother Yashoda is worried that Krishna is not a hearty eater. He doesn't eat so much. And Palana, and she's protecting Krishna also. She's, whenever he's attacked by some demons, then she puts tilak on him. She covers him with dust from the hooves of the cows, and she does some ceremonies, puts cow urine on him. She's trying to protect Krishna also. This is the mood of Mother Yashoda. That Krishna is so weak. Krishna is so vulnerable. Krishna is my little boy. He's so young. His skin is so soft. He said the skin of Krishna is so soft. If you just touch it, then it almost bruises. You can see the effect of just touching it. They also said that about Srila Prabhupada, devotees, that when they would see or touch Prabhupada's skin, devotees who massaged him, it was extremely soft and smooth. And his lotus feet were pinkish, very, very soft and very, very smooth. So Mother Yashoda is thinking that Krishna is very vulnerable. And she's also thinking that I have to educate Krishna. I have to discipline Krishna. How many parents do we have in the room today? A few. So it's a difficult task, discipline your child, right? It's hard work. You want to be nice and have fun and relax, but they're always doing naughty things. So you always have to teach them, no, you don't do like that. You have to do it like this. So Mother Yashoda, even though she may not want to chastise Krishna, even though she may not want to punish Krishna, then she does that. We all know the pastime of Damodar, tying up Krishna, chasing Krishna with a stick, teaching Krishna a lesson, tying him to a grinding mortar. Wouldn't go down well with the CPO these days, but this is the traditional Vedic activities of Mother Yashoda. So this is her mood. Krishna is so small. Krishna is so vulnerable. Krishna is bewildered, right? Krishna doesn't know how to act correctly. If he carries on like this, he's going to be a disturbance to the society of Vrindavan. So we have to get Krishna on the straight and narrow. This is Mother Yashoda's understanding of Krishna. And then we have the Madhurya Rasa, and we have the amorous rasa of different personalities, not just of the gopis, but different people are in Madhurya Rasa. So this is the rasa of being attracted to the opposite sex, to thinking that they're beautiful, that they're attractive, that you want to serve them, that you want to be with them intimately. And I'm going through these rasas to just explain here, if we're losing the context, of how fortunate we are. In this life we've come in contact with Krishna, and we haven't just been given Lord Narayan, we haven't just been given God. Here's God. What does he look like? Not sure, but don't even ask that question. Right? I've heard that many times. Different religions, they've asked, what is God like? What is heaven like? You know, tell me about it. And they say, don't ask these questions. You shouldn't ask these questions. Not only have we been given God, not only been given Narayan, we've been given Krishna. And not only have we been given Krishna, but what I'm trying to establish now is what route have we been given to Krishna? What access have we been given to Krishna? How is Krishna allowing us to serve him? So in Madhurya Ras, who can tell me like the base level of Madhurya Ras. I mean, it sounds bad to say like the lowest level, because in spiritual life we have perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. There's no, you know, inferior in one sense, but we can still see that there's gradations. So if we start at the like entry level Madhurya Ras, anybody give me a suggestion who would be that? Queen to Dwarka, anybody below that? There's one example. Yeah, had somebody say that? Kubja, yeah. So Kubja. So we hear about Kubja, that Kubja, she was a hunchback. Krishna stood on her toes, lifted up her chin, and then she became this very beautiful, attractive lady. And then Kubja was filled with attraction for Krishna. And she said to Krishna, she tugged on his clothing and said, "Krishna, come to my place, come and see me." And the cowherd boys were there, they were laughing. Kubja and Krishna, what's going on here? And Krishna says, we'll speak later. So he did speak later, and he went to Kubja and he went to her house. So Kubja was attracted to Krishna in Madhurya Ras. But what was the... why is her love inferior to, say, the love of the gopis? Any ideas? Yeah, there was lust, that's right. So sometimes it's also explained that with the gopis, they also have lust for Krishna. But that's just the word that's used, karma. Karma, krodha, karma, esha, krodha, esha, rajaguna, samudbhavaha, right? Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. We have to overcome this lust. And the attraction within Madhurya Ras for Krishna is also called karma, but this karma is a different type of karma. But there's also different gradations. So Kubja, she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna. She wanted to enjoy Krishna. Just like I'm sure we have that mentality sometimes, right? We come to Krishna consciousness often because we're suffering. We're suffering in this material world. You come to Krishna consciousness, oh, I feel better. I'm going to go to the temple. I feel better when I come to the temple. I'm going to enjoy prasadam. Enjoy the kirtan. You see who's going to lead the kirtan. Oh, no, he's going to lead the kirtan. Somebody else is going to lead the kirtan. Oh, good, he's going to lead the kirtan. Somebody is going to give class. Oh, I'm going to go and chant my rounds. I mean, I'm usually chanting my rounds when class is happening, but... we may make that differentiation. Oh, he gives a good class. I like his class. I enjoy his class. His class is torture. So I'm not going to go to that one. So we're also trying to enjoy. Premanavaguru said a nice thing to me the other day, that he always comes to class and the mind may say, Shishirada Gokulananda ki jai. The mind may say, I don't want to listen to his class. But that's the mind. That's the mind speaking. That's the mode of passion. The mode of goodness says, I'll go and listen to class because I'll become purified. And the Krishna conscious mind says, I'm going to listen to class because it's pleasing to Krishna. Because Krishna wants me to hear about him. Doesn't matter who's going to speak, they're going to speak about Krishna. Whether I enjoy it or I don't enjoy it, we don't offer to the deities what we like, right? The head pujari doesn't think, oh yeah, what would I like to eat today? Pizza and chips, I'm going to offer that to Radha Gokulananda. No, we offer to Krishna what he likes. So the people are speaking about Bhagavatam, and that's purifying. So Kubja, she had that mentality of enjoying Krishna. I want to enjoy Krishna. Then we have the queens of Dwarka, they're one level up. So they're also in Madhurya Ras, right? Husband and wife. They're married. That mood, that relationship. But the queens of Dwarka, they have some expectations. I don't know if my wife is listening to the class. Probably she's listening at home with the children. But in married life, you have expectations, right? A lot of expectations. Probably more so before you get married than when you're married and after you've been married a while. But still there's expectations. You're bound together. You have to work together. Somebody's got to do the shopping. Somebody's got to clean the house. Somebody's got to bring the money in. Somebody's got to put the children to sleep. There's a lot of things you have to do. There's lots of expectations. And there's some status there as well. Can you imagine in Dwarka? Can you imagine in the royal family? You know, there's big status, right? Even in our Kali Yuga royal family, there's big status. People love the royal family. We're very excited, right? They come here. We'd love King Charles III to come here. Very prestigious, very important. What to speak of in Dwarka, can you imagine? 16,108 palaces, custom built island, you know, in the ocean. It's inconceivable what it could be like if we could just have a vision of Dwarka, then our lives would be perfect. So the queens, they're queens. They expect Krishna to act in a particular way, to do something, to look after the children, to perform his duties, to be a righteous king. So there's some expectation there. There's some little degree of transcendental selfishness there. But in Goloka Vrindavan, with the gopis, what status do they have? Anything? Not really. They're cowherd girls, very simple birth. It's a simple birth. They think Krishna has gone to Mathura. Oh, there's very sophisticated women there. Krishna will be very attracted to them, not to us simple cowherd girls. They think we're simple village people. And then does Krishna give them big facilities, the gopis? Zero facilities. Does Krishna buy anything for the gopis? No. Does he do anything for the gopis? Does he give them a place to live? Does he give them a palace? You know, each queen has one palace. Each gopi has one husband. They don't have anything. They have their own houses. When they come to meet with Krishna, they're meeting in the forest. And not only do they not have facilities to meet Krishna, they're putting themselves into danger to go and meet Krishna. So they actually have to undergo difficulties to go and meet Krishna. It's said that Srimati Radharani, she practices in her room. She puts curtains across the windows, even in the daytime. She pours water all over the floor, puts earth on the floor and pours water on it, and practices walking on slippery mud, because at night time she has to go and she has to meet Krishna and she has to be expert. She has to go as fast as possible so no one will catch her, no one will see her. So they have to undergo austerities to meet Krishna. It's also said that Srimati Radharani, people in Javat, where she lives, they criticize her. And she doesn't like that place. She considers it to be like a prison. They criticize her. They say, this unchaste woman, she has this relationship with Krishna. So they take on these austerities and these difficulties eternally to be with Krishna. And it's said that the love of the gopis is the highest. It's the highest love. I don't remember the whole verse. That's why I have it here. It starts, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha. Here we go. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya Taddharma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachit Upasana Vraja Vargena Yakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumato Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatra Doro Naparaha. So this is establishing, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur establishing what is our Siddhanta, what is our philosophy. And it says, Bhagavan, the son of Nanda, whose abode is Vrindavan, is worshipable. Whatever worship is performed by the group of young damsels of Vraj is most pleasing to him. Srimad Bhagavatam is the faultless pramana, and prema is the highest goal of life. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion, for which I have exclusive respect. So, Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, that form of Krishna in Vrindavan, that's the original form of God. Whatever worship the gopis perform, that's the highest form of worship. Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest pramana, is the highest form of evidence. And prema is the ultimate goal of life. So the highest form of worshipping Krishna is performed by the gopis. And yeah, as I was saying, that this mood of the gopis, this parakeet above, is considered higher within Madhurya Ras. The queens, they have swakiya, they're married to Krishna, they see him every day, cook him lunch every day, perform their activities. They have Krishna, he's theirs. In Vrindavan, the gopis are striving to meet Krishna. Most of the time they're not with him, they're feeling that pain of separation. And they don't have any rights to Krishna, they're not married to Krishna. That parakeet above, they have to keep that relationship secret. So that parakeet above is higher, it's more exciting. And then even within that parakeet above, then there's different types of gopis as well. And that's also a big topic. One can read about how different people attain the form of gopis. But just one point about it is, there's different types of gopis, and some of the gopis, they enjoy with Krishna also. So they have direct connection with Krishna. But even higher than that is considered to be the manjaris. So the manjaris, they don't have a direct connection with Krishna. They just serve those who serve Krishna. And that's considered to be the pinnacle of selflessness. That I don't want anything personally from Krishna. It's still Madhurya Ras, but I just want to give. I just want to serve those who give pleasure to Krishna. So that's considered the highest pinnacle of perfection. Such things we couldn't have even imagined, right, before we come to Krishna consciousness. It's just, you know, unless we hear it from authorities and unless we practice, then it's inconceivable. But what we are being given, access to, what we are being given information of, is this. And other than this, there's nothing higher. So if we can just try to appreciate that and see that what Srila Prabhupada has endeavored to give us, there's nothing that compares to this, then when we have that appreciation, it will fuel our enthusiasm and our determination, our patience, our humility, and our devotional activities enable us to reap a better result. So, Lakshmi, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, she was desiring to take shelter of Krishna, and she performed austerities for many, many years to attain Krishna's shelter. And was Lakshmi successful? No, Lakshmi was unsuccessful. It's also very interesting that Lakshmi Narayan, you know, is Bhagavan, Krishna, and his eternal associate. And she's trying to do something and she fails. Incredible. Can we, you know, don't be surprised if you fail doing something. Lakshmi Devi was performing austerities to attain Krishna and she also failed. And why is it that Lakshmi failed to go to Vrindavan and be with Krishna? Why do you think? It wasn't because she was struggling with anatta nivritti, or she was looking at her mobile phone when she was supposed to be chanting japa. Why didn't she attain that perfection? Yeah. So she was fixed in this conception that I am Lakshmi Devi. And I don't want to compare Lakshmi Devi to Sahajas, but in one sense there's a similar thing. Like Sahajas, they think, with this body I can please Krishna. If I just dress up as a gopi, Krishna will be happy, Krishna can enjoy me. But you can't please Krishna with this body. We can't please Krishna for us, this false ego, this ahankara. Yes, I'm going to go back to Vrindavan as an Englishman and Krishna will be very happy with me. No, you can't go back as an Englishman. There's no England within Goloka Vrindavan. There's no Scotland, no London. There may be Shweta Dweep, you know, and Mahavan, Talavan, but there's no, you know, London Van, anything like that. You have to give up London if you want to go back to the spiritual world. So it's amazing to think that what Lakshmi Devi wanted to achieve, her aspiration, and what she couldn't achieve, is accessible to us. But you have to learn that lesson also, that we have to give up this current identity of identifying with this body, and we have to serve Krishna anukul as Krishna desires. And that means following in the footsteps of the personalities who are already there. So you can't gate crash the party and think, yeah, I'm going to go like this. No, you have to follow the personalities that are there. And there's different examples of that also. We hear about Narada Muni. The Narada Muni is a good example of a perfected devotee who's not in Braja Rasa. He's not in the mood of Braja Bhakti. He's in Vaikuntha Rasa, in the mood of awe and reverence, Aishwarya. And usually he's satisfied with that. He doesn't want to live in Vrindavan, like be a little cowherd boy or be a gopi. Usually he's aware of Krishna's pastimes. He takes part in Krishna's pastimes, right? Everybody likes that funny pastime where he comes and tells Kamsa Krishna is going to be born as the eighth son of Devaki and he's going to kill you. But who knows how they're going to count to eight? You could count this way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then the first child might be the eighth. Depends how you count. Amazing preaching tool. And Kamsa's like, yeah, you're right. So I'll kill all of them. So Narada, he comes into Krishna's pastimes, but he comes as Narada Muni and he stays as Narada Muni. But there is also another pastime where he does become curious and he does become attracted. And he also wants to become a gopi. And he actually is successful. So he goes to Narada Kund in Vrindavan and he gets guided there by Vrindadevi. He takes bath in Kusum Sarovara. He attains a gopi form. And then he goes to the Rasa dance and he can take part. But generally he's satisfied with the position that he's in. Then there's also the example of Arjuna. So Arjuna also, he's Krishna's friend, Krishna's Sakha. He's saying in the Bhagavad Gita, we would lie on the same bed together, I would call you Yadava, I would make jokes at your expense, you are my charioteer. Please forgive me when he sees the universal form. Please forgive me now I realize who you really are. He's Krishna's friend. But at one point he asks Krishna, what is this gopi stuff, Madhurya Ras, what is all of this? Krishna says, you can't understand this. This is beyond you. And he says, come on. Like Markandeya Rishi says to Krishna, show me your illusory energy. I want to know your illusory energy. Krishna's like, that's not a good idea. He says, come on, I want to see it. Okay, fine. And then he goes into the waters of devastation for kalpas, for days of Brahma. But now Arjuna also says, come on, Krishna, I want to know, what is it? What is this Madhurya Ras? What is Vrindavan? I hear about this. I want to experience it too. So then Krishna says, okay, fine. And Arjuna goes to Vrindavan. I mean, the Pandavas have gone to Vrindavan anyway, but they go to Vrindavan. And he also bathes in a particular lake, I'm not sure what lake. And then he attains a gopi body, Arjuniya Gopi. And then he's introduced to the gopis. And they say, who are you? Is this young gopi in Vrindavan? We haven't seen you before. And then they start to train him up and introduce him to the Sakis, Ashtasakis. And they introduce him to Radharani, and they introduce him to Krishna. So Arjuna gets to experience that, gets to experience the Rasa Lila. So there are different personalities who were successful in achieving that. Lakshmi wasn't, but because they were willing to undergo that transformation, breaking down their current identity and establishing a new identity, that humble attitude, then they could attain that. They could attain that new form. Trying to read my handwriting. There's also the example, this is like the opposite, of Kamsa. Maybe some of you know this pastime, it's extremely funny. That Kamsa heard about Srimati Radharani. Kamsa heard about how beautiful Radharani was. So in his demoniac mood of a king, he's like, okay, she should be mine. Just like Ravana wanted to procure Sita. Although he could never do it, he could only get Maya Sita. But Kamsa was the same, he's like, I want to get Radharani. And they said, okay, we'll go to Vrindavan, she's in Vrindavan. So Kamsa's like, okay, I'm going to go to Vrindavan. He goes to Vrindavan with his soldiers, and I believe they're going to Javad, or that may be Vashana. No, I think it's Vashana. Wherever Kishori Kund is, I think it's Vashana. Anybody know where Kishori Kund is? So Kamsa goes to Vrindavan, he goes to say Vashana. And they're very tired by that time, they've been riding on their horses. And they get to Kund, a lake, and they're like, okay, let's water our horses and we can also drink. So they pitch up at Kishori Kund, and their horses are drinking from the Kund, and the horses immediately become mares. They become female. They were male previously. And then Kamsa is also drinking water from the Kund, and he's drinking, and then he sees his reflection, no moustache, no turban, that he's become a gopi. Kamsa has become a gopi, and he's like, how is this? Why have I become a gopi? And Kamsa is extremely disturbed. You know, he has this mentality, I'm big, powerful, strong, kshatriya, and now I've turned into a little girl. This is a tragedy. So he's extremely bewildered and he's extremely worried. And then he sees a girl walking by and he thinks she's, you know, local. So he says, come here, come here. What's happened? I just drank from this kund. I've turned into a little girl and my horse. He says, what can I do? And she said, that's no problem. She says, you're in Vrindavan. Many sages for thousands of years, they're desiring to become gopis. What are you complaining about? He says, no, I don't want to be a gopi. I don't want to be a little girl. I want to be Kamsa. So he says, I can't be like this. And she said, okay, you come with me. We'll go and see Srimati Radharani and she can sort it out for you. So they go up to Radharani's palace and Kamsa, in the form of a little gopi, is waiting to meet Srimati Radharani. And then she comes and she knows that it's Kamsa, so she's not particularly pleased with him. And Kamsa is saying, please give me back my form as a king, as a man, as a kshatriya. I don't want to be in this form. And she's also explaining to him, like, what's the problem, you know? Many people would die for this. You're so foolish that you're here. You have this opportunity and you want to be turned back into a kshatriya. So she's saying, okay, I'll turn you back on one condition. He said, yeah, anything. I'll do anything. She said, you don't send any more demons to Vrindavan to attack Krishna. So if you do, wherever you may be, sitting on your throne in Mathura, then immediately you'll turn back into a little gopi. So Kamsa says, okay, fine, I won't send any more demons. So she says, you go back to Kishori Kund and you bathe in Kishori Kund and you'll turn back into Kamsa. So he did, and he bathed and he just fled from Vrindavan as fast as possible and went back to Mathura. So, if I've succeeded in explaining clearly, maybe we've gone off on a few different leelas and tangents, then our good fortune is inestimable. And to be honest, it's inconceivable to actually, they say, felfogni in Hungarian, like to appreciate it, to conceive how fortunate we are, where we've come from, and now what we have the opportunity to engage in. And this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. This is the gift that he wants to bestow upon us. And so we should understand, what is that gift? Sometimes people give us a gift, but it's in a box. Like my father, he's quite eccentric, very creative. He was a like art design teacher in the University of Hertfordshire, so he's very creative and artistic. So when we were younger, he would wrap our presents up in such a way that you'd never know what it was. You know, like children, they want to go where at Christmas time under the tree, like, what presents have I got? Shake it, try and figure out what present it is. What does it feel like? So he would put it in a box, in a box, in a cereal box, in another box. So you never guess what it was. So we may be given a present, we may be given a gift, but we may only see the box, or we may only see the wrapping, or there may be different layers to that wrapping. I've heard Christians say that God often gives us a gift, but it's wrapped up in the form of a problem. So they have that conception also. Now for us, we've been given a gift, but how deep are we able to penetrate that we actually get to the essence of it? And We may not be able to penetrate to the core even in this lifetime. Who knows how many lifetimes we've been practicing Krishna consciousness already? It's usually not our first lifetime that we're practicing. Prabhupada says, if you're practicing now, you've practiced before. I don't know where that begins, but as at least serious sadhakas, we must have been practicing in our previous lives. So to penetrate and to really understand and to realize what it is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give, that really requires a deep level of purification. But that's the kindness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's come to give this unatojvala rasa, anarpita charim chidat kudanayavatirna kalo. If that thing which has never been given before, or at least not for 4.32 billion years, and this is a little exposition on what that means and how fortunate we are. Okay, I'll finish there. Thank you very much for your attention. I know it's been long. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Have we got a mic? Got a mic, okay. Yes, Premana Vipuru.
Thank you for the class. Very nice. Yeah, you quoted me earlier.
I did.
You missed the most important part, was that actually every devotee has something to give, some nice nectar. So we can learn something from every devotee, regardless who they are. So my question is, so Lord Chaitanya has come to give the highest thing, Raja Bhakti, and out of that, Madhurya Ras. What if one's eternal swarup is to serve Narayan in Vaikuntha? I know you gave the example of Narada Muni and Arjuna becoming Arjuna Gopi. But they also still attain their Nitya Siddhas, and they still have their eternal swarup as Arjuna. So can a conditioned soul change? Because now Lord Chaitanya has come to give the highest, so can they attain that, even though their swarup is to be in Vaikuntha?
Yeah. There's different examples, like Murari Gupta, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, why are you worshipping Lord Ram for? Why are you wasting your time? Serve Krishna. And Murari Gupta is like, I can't, you know, I have to... He tried, but he couldn't do it. I have to serve Ram. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, good, I was just testing you. You carry on, that's very good. So there's different examples. I've heard Narada Muni given as an example of one who's fixed in that prema, in his prema, in his eternal form. But there's also that example, he wants to, okay, I'll have a little dip into Vajrabhakti. Generally, he just stays as Narada Muni. So, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can't upgrade you. There's a statement that he makes in, I think, Chaitanya Bhagavat, maybe to Advaita Acharya. He said, if one worships me, then I can give him Madhurya Ras. Whatever situation he's in now, he can come to Madhurya Ras also. Srila Sivaramaj talks about that in his books. And he also, when he was here last time in the disciples' meeting, I asked this question that, it seems usually what I heard for the first like 15 years of devotional service was you have a swarup, you have an eternal original form, that's your form, you need to like take off the layers and the coverings and you'll get to that. But there also seems to be this aspect of cultivation. So if you have a particular mood that you're attracted to, then Krishna reciprocates with that. Yayatamam papadyante. So what mood you're cultivating, then Krishna will reciprocate with that. To some degree, it's not totally clear, and it may be a mixture of both, it may be an individual thing. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu definitely says that. He said, I can take you from whatever ras you are to Madhurya Ras. But it may be that somebody doesn't want to go to Madhurya Ras, somebody's happy, and you can't have a spiritual world where everybody's a gopi, you know, there's no grass, there's no trees, just like lines of gopis everywhere. Walking on gopis, picking flowers from gopis. You know, you need trees and you need flowers and you need cows and you need everything. You need everybody. And Mother Ermola was saying that you may have a pot, like I'm doing gardening these days. So you have a 10-liter pot or you have a 40-liter pot or a 100-liter pot. So if the 10-liter pot is full with, say, compost, it's full, right? It's full. That pot is full. 40-liter pot, it requires more to fill it, but then it's full. You can't put 100 liters of compost in a 40-liter pot. So somebody who's in serving Narayan in Vaikuntha, they're full, they're happy, they're satisfied, they're in the spiritual world, they've attained perfection. They don't need anything more. But as Kaviraj Goswami says, if you look at it objectively, then you can see that the rasa is deeper in Vrindavan, in higher rasas. So we'll find out, I guess, later, like what Krishna wants from us, where he wants us to be, what he wants us to do.
Because some Vaishnavas say that the Swarup is already there, and you have to cultivate your Krishna consciousness, Vaidhi Bhakti, in order to attain, to realize that. And some say you can, through Sadhana Bhakti, you attain your Swarup. Do you know, can you say anything about that?
It's, for me, it's mysterious. It's like the topic of creation, like, it's difficult to put your finger on it. That's what we were talking about in that disciples' meeting last year. That do we have a eternal swarup? That I am, say, a cowherd boy, or is it flexible? How flexible is it? You know, if I, because we're hearing about the gopis, right? Right from the beginning, I always say this in class. In the beginning, I come to Krishna consciousness, I've still got hair, I'm wearing shorts. Like my instance at Soho Street in 2000, working outside. And they just tell you about Krishna and Vrindavan. And I remember this picture in the Reservoir of Pleasure, Krishna running through Vrindavan with the cowherd boys in the trail behind him. Immediately you're given Vrindavan. So according to the information that you're given and the association that you're given as well, that's going to affect your consciousness. That's all I can say. Anybody else want to say anything? Govinda Peru or anybody else? Yeah? Tarun, my counterpart. The original Adi Tarun. I'm like the perverted reflection.
Based on experiences of many acharyas also, if your desire pulls you to certain, like Arjuna wanted to experience this gopi relationship, so it's not that Arjuna gopi is created at some point, you know, there is eternally is present also. But Arjuna comes to facilitate Krishna also. So it's not that you have one form there. Maybe you have one main form, which is highest. So Arjuna experienced already highest. So it's not like why this desire came to him. Because there is such a gopi eternally also. And he came to facilitate Krishna as Arjuna, as many aspects. So also us, like... You know, there is maybe main Svarupa, but you come in many different forms. Like, you know many acharyas, they are like, he's a Madhva acharya, he's a gopi, he's a river, he's a cow, he's a...
Madhavendra Puri, I think.
Yeah. So it's not like one, you know, when Krishna comes, you facilitate Krishna as well, but
yeah,
you can say your expansion, so in that sense.
Yeah, it said with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you can go back to Krishna's pastimes and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes simultaneously.
Also, mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even if you have different whatever inclinations, for example, if you serve Advaita Acharya and Nityananda, you have different rasa, but through their mercy, if you develop strong attachment to Lord Chaitanya, then you can enter Madhura Rasa. So it's not that, like, it's a flexible, as you mentioned. So
yeah.
There's some thoughts on, I mean...
Ultimately, I think it's up what Krishna's desire is. Krishna can do anything, right? He can change things. One time I asked my spiritual master that I was a brahmachari that time, book distributor. I was having such a good time distributing books. I said, I don't really want to go back to the spiritual world, you know. What, can you stay here and just take part in the Sangatan movement and, you know, just preach? And he said, it's, we do what Krishna wants. So if Krishna wants you to go back to the spiritual world, fine. If Krishna wants you to stay here, fine. Ultimately, it's up to Krishna, but he reciprocates with us. That's the mood of the Vishaya. Like we have the mood and he reciprocates with that. So it's kind of like a two-ended relationship. But he can, you know, he can pull the strings. But ultimately it's up to him. Yes? Govinda Puri?
Hare Krishna, Jay. I often wonder about this discussion about do we change Swarupa? Is it para? I sometimes wonder whether, you know, Prabhupada's looking on at this and I'm not sure if he's really pleased that we've got this kind of round and round in circle. Something's gone wrong, I think. We're going round and round in circles on this point. Obviously, different schools of thought and people are writing. Sannyasis from different branches are writing pages and pages on their conception and people are doing the opposite. Anyway, but what I wanted to say, that's just one point. Another point, Skinesia invited me to speak. I quite like these. There's a pastime Revati Nandana Prabhu. He asked Prabhupada, he said, you know, you're a devotee of Krishna, but are we to understand that other people who may be in ISKCON may be devotees of other incarnations? And are we to understand that if they just follow the path that you've given, they'll develop their love for the particular form of Godhead that they like? And Prabhupada said, yes, that's the case. So Prabhupada has definitely opened the door for that. So if you're like, say, a Ram Bhakta, you can go and join the Hare Krishna movement and you'll become a great lover of Lord Ram, even if you're living in a temple other than Bhaktivedanta Manor, which doesn't have a Ram deity, you know. So I don't see there's any problem. It's kind of another thing, another example. I think one time one devotee asked Prabhupada, we're trying to understand that you're cowherd damsels of Braj or whatever because we sing Tulsi prayers and that's what we sing. And Prabhupada said, well, that's not the way it works. It's just that that's how, who wrote that? That's their mood, the person who wrote that song. So we just sing the song. It doesn't mean that we necessarily have exactly the same mood. But spirituality is so flexible that if you sing a song and there's some, the words are a different mood, because spirituality is so all-encompassing, it will still like augment your mood even if you have a different mood. It's just because it doesn't have to be so, everything we sing, everything we say has to be exactly according to our mood and our eternal sort kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think obviously these topics are high topics and it's a very individual thing as well. And I liked what Gaurkishore Das Babaji said, that I mentioned it in class before. People would come, you know, because they would have Siddha Pranali at that time and spiritual masters would give the swarup, or not tell the disciples what their swarup was. And I think somebody approached him about that and he said, my Siddha Pranali mantra is the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. So you just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in time when you're purified, then the Maha Mantra will reveal to you what you need to know. You don't need anything else. And that's such a safe way of doing anything that, you know, we're not like delving into this or delving into that or reading these books or going to this guru or whatever. You just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It'll give you everything if you're qualified. If you're not qualified, then it won't give you yet, and you know that you're not qualified. So that's like very, very safe. And also one other thought is, yeah, there may be Ram Bhaktas or there may be devotees with different inclinations, but it's like sometimes devotees get really into Nrisimhadev. But generally we're worshipping Radha and Krishna through Gaura Nithai. That is our mood. That's what's been given to us. It will be rare that somebody is not into that. Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram. But we should focus on that and not like, yeah, pick an incarnation, you know, like which one would you like? Vamana Dev or Parashuram, or no, I like Kalki. Yeah, we're worshipping Radha Krishna. We have Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman in ISKCON in general. Who do we have? Radha Krishna everywhere, right? There's a few places Krishna Balaram, and we approach through Gaura Nithai. That's our goal, that's our focus. If somebody like Murari Gupta or Anupam, right, Rupan Sanatana's brother, he was also into Ram. There may be exceptions, but the general root and the general goal of everyone in ISKCON is to attain service of Radha and Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Gaura Nitya or both at the same time, as we mentioned. Yeah. Yes, Prayojan Prabhu?
It occurs to me that Prabhupada says we've already got our role or our original position in our heart. We've just forgotten. And it's a matter of reviving that. And that reviving really is in the hands of Krishna. You know, I think it's the purity of our service. Actually, it says that service is our goal. And where we serve is already in our heart. And Krishna will take us to that place. It's the purity of the service that counts. You know, as long as we get service, wherever it is. Let Krishna take me wherever he chooses, which is already in my heart, because my goal is service. You know, let me become absorbed in such service. Prabhupada says a surrendered soul feels that way, no matter what it is, because it's best. It's your choice for me, my destiny, to go.
Yeah. Yeah, just one last point and then we'll finish. It's like, but also, that's true, it's in Krishna's hands and we're serving Krishna as Krishna desires. Anyabhilashitashunyam jnana kama janavitam anukulyena Krishna nu, as Krishna likes. But you're going to like a particular thing, right? Somebody likes curd sabji, somebody likes halava. Some people don't like sweets. I can't relate to that at all, but some people don't like sweets very much. We're individuals, and like I said, yeyatamam papadyante, Krishna will reciprocate. So yeah, whatever Krishna wants, that's true. But also Krishna will reciprocate with what is in your heart. So how do you want to serve Krishna? And as devotees advance in Krishna consciousness, then they will feel a particular inclination. It's not like, yeah, whatever Krishna, take me to Vaikuntha, or take me to Dwarka, or take me to Vrindavan. That's immature devotional service. It's like you don't have any attachment to how you want to serve Krishna. As you advance, you'll have more of an attachment. Yeah, I want to go here and I want to be with you here. I want to serve you like this. And then Krishna will reciprocate. And it's not like, yeah, Krishna, do that. But I want to serve you. I want to serve you here. So, yeah, it's all that mixture is there. How we want to serve Krishna. I mean, it's not a selfish thing like, yeah, I want a BMW. No, I want to serve you, Krishna, like this. How can I serve you? And then Krishna will say, yeah, this is the natural, original way that you will serve me. That's why you're feeling it, because that's where I'm taking you to. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Please forgive any offenses or mistakes. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.